Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and I am your host for today for our show, Business is Personal. And our topic today is the art of gathering, how we meet and why it matters. And I am over the moon to introduce you to my leading lady today, which is Kelly Wackerman. And Kelly is the founder and partner of the London Method, an incredible business that I know every listener is going to want to know more about, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But good afternoon, Kelly, and thank you so much for being with me for today's topic.
Hi, Shawn Marie. I'm so excited to be here with you. So thankful. So thanks for having me.
No, I'm super excited too, Kelly. And yeah, you're so welcome. And what an honor and a delight it is to be in this particular conversation with you. Kelly, I know that both you and I are a huge fan, not only of this topic, but I wish that I could take credit for, you know, coming up with this super sexy, really wise title and topic, but actually you and I have been inspired by a book by that very name, The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters by Priya Parker. And I was certainly smitten with it the moment I saw the title, and I was hoping that the content would be equally as meaningful and profound, and it certainly was for me. And I would love to open up our conversation today, Kelly, with asking you, you know, what does that mean to you? What does the art of gathering mean, especially given what you do for a living? And, you know, you are hosting and facilitating gatherings and conversations. And so, yeah, I would love to know what inspired you about this topic and how you view the art of gathering.
I love this question. And before I get into that, I just have to say that in working with you in the past and reading the material, I have to say you really are like the master of getting people together on a level that's beyond anything that's just the norm, taking it to the next level. So even in just going reading and finding out more about this, your name just popped up in my head like the whole time I was going into this. But for me personally, I have always been a person that was able to bring people together. That was just kind of like a natural ability that I had, as you know, someone in high school would be friends with all different groups. And so I didn't realize that this taking it to a next level was something that I had naturally had in me. First of all, being able to bring people together, but then finding a common purpose that we could all share that was, no matter how different the people were that were coming together, when you can find a reason where you all share something in common, that becomes this really special thing between everyone that's a part of whatever it is that you're gathering them for. And, you know, I created an entire business, the London Method, based on bringing people together for the purpose of not only getting, you know, fit, but unifying each other in a message, which was, you know, furthering a technique that was going to be lost in time. So we became these, like, you know, these pioneers of wanting to keep a legacy alive. And so I found early on in my business that when you can find, first of all, a reason to bring everyone together, which is usually what every gathering or event has, there's usually a reason, and you can take it to the next level and then create little rituals, if you will, or things to get them to share with one another why it means something to them and for them all to share that. It just, it really like binds people for life, I've found. And so I feel in, you know, everything I do outside of my business, in my home life or when I bring people together, I always try and think of, you know, a reason to bring them together and then a sort of a technique or a practice to get them to find out more about each other. Because too many times I think people think, oh, you could just throw a gathering and throw everyone in a room and think like they'll figure it out. But really, when you set intentions of getting the people to connect with one another and get them to know each other, it's when they're really bound to whatever that was for life, and they'll never forget what you were coming together for. You know, that's what I've found personally in my years.
Yeah, no, I'm so with you, Kelly. And you know, one of the quotes that I really love from the book, and it wasn't anything that, and there are so many incredible moments in this book. I mean, I've got highlights and notes. In fact, you know, I'm reading it for the second time. But one of the things that stood out for me is she said, when we gather, we often make the mistake of conflating category with purpose.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, based on what your experience has been as somebody who creates gatherings and brings people together and also, you know, being in the midst of reading this book, what would you say to someone who either doesn't really see the difference or might be struggling with, you know, feeling, I don't know, maybe the clarity, or like, how would you encourage somebody to really find what the purpose is versus the category? Because, for example, in the book, it talks about having a purpose for a baby shower or, you know, or a picnic or getting the girls together for a book club, you know, that these things that we think of as maybe a little bit more neutral or a little bit more mundane, you know, what Priya is saying is like, no, it needs to have a purpose. And then when you, you know, go to the other end of that spectrum where you're hosting events or gatherings where people are paying you money, or you are inviting people to come and be, you know, part of a membership, or, you know, it's a big conference or things like that. Like she went from the smallest event to the biggest event. And I definitely personally have experienced conflating category with purpose. And I'm just wondering how you would approach that or, you know, assist somebody through bridging that gap between, you know, finding what their purpose is and why that's so important. Like, why it's so important to have a purpose for every single gathering.
Yeah, I mean, I think what comes to mind for me is, you know, you can bring people together because they all have something in common, and then you can stop there, or you can bring them together for because they all have something in common, but then define the reason for the gathering and then get their reason for being there out of them, and then they become more connected. So I think for me, when I think about, you know, if you go to an event, and she talks about this in the book, and there I think she specifically talks about an event that was like a vodka event, and they served their vodka.
Mm-hmm.
You could only choose their drink. You could only have their vodka. And it ended up being this entire party was based on the one product that they were trying to sell. They didn't have anything set up that got for the people to dive in deeper to why they were there and what their purpose was for being there and their connection to whatever it was that the event was for. And so just implementing some sort of ritual to have everyone do when they get there, is some people might, you know, oh, we have to do this. But once they get into doing whatever it is that you've set up for them, whatever it was to bring out of them, what connects them to that? Why did they come? Why did they actually come to the event? Then it takes it to the next level because they feel like they're a part of it instead of just being like a spectator to it all. And when you're a part of something and you feel like your presence is meaningful to the other person or whoever's throwing the event, you feel like you matter, right? And I think in a sense, when you have an event, you have to think about who's coming to the event. Why are they there? And why are you inviting them to the event? Not only just to show off what you're trying to show off or whatever reason you're doing it for, but if you go outside of yourself and think about, like, why are these people coming? And let's get them to do some sort of practice, or it could be anything from, you know, them, you know, I love the things on the tables where people have to talk about something at a table, or everyone's assigned like a different job that they have. They have to pour the wine, or they have to do this, like just little things that can get people to interact with one another and get them to start talking about why they are there, then it changes it for people. And so I do that, and I didn't realize until reading this book that I've done that in all events. You know, I have teacher trainings that we just started doing virtually. And one of the things was I didn't know if I wanted to do teacher trainings online because, number one, I wanted the information to be transferred properly, which was one of my fears, which I realized we could conquer. And the second fear was, are these people going to be as connected as they are if we're in a room together for this many mm-hmm. days? And that happens easier when you're together. But I thought virtually, how's this going to happen? So I had, prior to our trainings, I had all the women that were doing this training with us tell me why did you come to this training? What are your dreams for this? What are your goals? What drew you to this? Why are you doing this? And I got like pages, Sean Marie. Some of these women were like almost writing books about like why this meant so much to them before the event had even happened, before the training had even happened. So when their faces were all on the Zoom, I knew each one of them intimately, or my partner Pam and I, we knew each one of what drove them here. Why were they doing this? And then we had them each share what their reasoning was on a, you know, short level so that everyone would have their time. But they immediately all became connected to also one another's stories, and they found out that a few of them lived near each other, which they never would have found out if you don't let those people share who they are, you know? So I think, you know, you can bring people together for a specific reason, but getting them to give their stake in it and having them have a chance to in some way be a part of it on a level that is personal for them, then it changes everything. And that's, you know, I really think that's what makes what we do like a level up from what people have said they've experienced, because not a lot of people take the time to do that. They're like, oh, it would take too much time to have everyone introduce themselves. No one cares about that. Well, they really do. You know, they really do. They end up really enjoying it when you you let them know that's going to happen, and then they're prepared, and then they do it. And it's just, it was so magical. It really was.
Kelly, I love that. At the tail end of what you were saying, what really struck me is when we allow that fear to set in, and you just said it, that, you know, if somebody's hosting an event that is of any size at all, one of those things that comes up is, oh, nobody's going to be interested. We don't have time for everybody to introduce themselves. But what if there was a way to make time for that? Or what if there was a way to create it so that it was broken into smaller groups? And I know that Michelle, who is the founder of Connected Women of Influence, she's incredible at that. Like, she hosts these huge events, and there's these little breakout sessions, and I've just witnessed her, you know, being really masterful at that. But one of the questions that you asked, or that you mentioned, and I know that Priya talked about this too, is asking people, why are you here? And not only as the facilitator or the host of an event, again, whether it's a baby shower or a, you know, a 1,000-person gathering, either the host asking or the attendees learning that from one another, like, what brought you here? And I think that that immediately brings it into that personal space. And obviously, as is noted by the name of our show, Business is Personal, you know, that really speaks to me. And you know, something I was reminded of, and I know it's not technically a gathering, but as you know, Kelly, I have this, you know, barrage of rescue animals currently under my roof that we are taking care of. And I had to rush one of the kittens to the vet, and everything is virtual, and the doctor comes out to the car, and I'm not kidding you, she made me feel like I was her most important patient or client. I guess the kitty was the patient, but It was so meaningful to me. And she came out to my car like three different times, like her personally, not a technician, not the girl to collect the money, but she came out to my car. She brought me a cup of coffee. She brought me a glass of water. She just went on and on about how much she loved this kitten. And it just, the exchange, right, the experience. Because in that case, it was a gathering of two. And I've met a lot of doctors in my day, both, you know, in the animal world and in the people world. And that is rarely the case. And, you know, Kelly, before before we kind of move on, I would love for you to speak a little bit specifically to the London method. And I know that one of the things that's happening for you and that you are experiencing is this interest and this increased awareness from attendees and teachers that are in training that you are doing business differently. And I also want to let our listeners know, like, this didn't just happen overnight. You've been in business for 5 years. And I'm emphasizing that because it takes a minute, right? We don't know what we don't know, and we're going about trying to grow our business or scale our business or get better at what we're doing and learn more. And then all of a sudden something clicks in. There is this alignment that happens. But I know that for you and the way that you are interacting with people that come to take your classes, it's different than anything else that's out there. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit to how you make your gatherings personal and how you bring that meaning and that purpose into it, and the value of knowing why you're gathering and why it matters. Because there's something that you do that I know that you've mentioned it to me dozens of times that other bar classes or other exercise classes don't do, and you do it at the end and you do it throughout the class. And I think you know what I'm talking about, but I'm wondering if you could speak to how you are taking something that has been this longstanding tradition and turning it on its ear by doing something different and deeply personal.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm going to hit what you're thinking of, because I have several, you know, I've thought about, like, studying why is this different? Because, you know, when I was in England, because I learned this technique from the woman who created Bar, if people know Bar workouts, like the woman that created, her name is Lottie Burke, and her daughter, who's 81 years old, she taught me the technique. She's been teaching it just as her mother taught her in England. She's the only one that had been teaching it this exact way for the last 50 plus years, right? So when I went to England to train with her, like the first American girl to find her and train with her, what I found was that all these women that were doing it were not only the strongest, fittest women I had ever seen, some of them in their 70s, but they were so connected to each other. They had this unity in every one of her classes. They knew about each other. They knew what grew in their gardens. They knew everything about each other. And I just thought it was like another level of what I had seen from teaching Pilates and what I call Americanized bar now in the U.S. So when I came home, I had learned the technique, and I thought, okay, let me start this. I started out in my house. And what I noticed was the exact same thing started happening with our clients. They were mine at first because it was in my house, and then we opened our studio. It was the same thing. They were going to each other's baby showers within, like, months of knowing each other. And I found that we start in a circle. So we literally start the class in a circle. We force them all to face each other. We end in a circle. We come to, I call it circling up now. We come to the center, and we actually do, in the middle of the class, we do pelvic floor work together, which is a very, you know, for some people can be uncomfortable. But when you put people in a situation that maybe not is that comfortable for them, and you have them, force them to just look at each other, they can close their eyes if they want during those times, but they feel so connected to one another. It's amazing. And they're also allowed to talk a little bit. The technique is based on the fact that in between exercises, you know, you're allowed to, like, say something to your neighbor. So we have this very, very fun environment where the women are allowed to talk to one another. And they really, that starts something in class that they continue on after class, where they really get to know one another. So I just think in today's world, and I'm hoping that with all that we're going through, that this, everyone's forced to slow down a little bit and take more time, you know, just look at one another and like learn about them. Like, don't be in a rush to go somewhere else. Like, just be where you're at, face one another, talk about things that maybe, I mean, you should hear the topics that come up in class. Like we always say, what happens at the London Method, they will talk about anything. And some of them are mere strangers, but yet they'll share because they feel so connected and comfortable in the way this technique was designed. And it's a true testament to the original work, because it didn't get translated like that when it got brought to the United States. You know, there was one teacher that was allowed to talk. Everyone faces the same direction. They don't do a circle, and no one can talk to each other. It's just, it's a totally different vibe than, and also the exercises are different. So it's just a very different thing that I had been, and I was teaching it, and I still love, there's things about that way that I love too, but there was none of that in there. It wasn't, and I didn't know, you know, going to England and then coming home, I thought, is this going to translate to America? Maybe Americans aren't going to be, maybe it was just an English thing why they were able to do this. But the design of the class, the circling up, the letting them, you know, have little comments with each other, those the moments where they were bonding really happens everywhere. And that's why we train people now in the technique so they can take it back to their home or studio or wherever they want to do it. And now we're watching other people besides us have the same, that same reaction that people are having to this technique, not only the exercises, but that bonding that people are having with one another is happening all over with us doing these virtual trainings. And I just, it like, when I hear people tell us that it's happening at their studio, it just like almost makes me emotional, because it is so beautiful that people are able to do that, especially in today's world when I think so much of that is lost. Everyone's in a hurry. They're trying to get somewhere else. They're not really paying attention to what the person's saying. And it's so needed right now, you know, I really think that people need it.
Kelly, I couldn't agree more, honey. It is so needed. And I'm sure that, well, I know you and I have experienced it, and I'm sure anybody listening to this conversation has experienced it. And that's being at a, you know, at a wedding or an event, or it doesn't even matter, but talking to someone and feeling them like check out, like they're either looking past you, or their eyes glaze over, or, you know, they're, they see somebody else that they think is going to, you know, add more value to their life. And so they want to like cut it short. And obviously there is a reasonable amount of time to spend with somebody at an event talking, but you can feel it. You can feel the lack of genuine interest. And you absolutely nailed it, Kelly. That was exactly where I was going with that question. And, you know, I would love to take a minute, Kelly, and ask you to let our listeners know, how could they find out more about you and the London Method? And I know because of the current state of the world, a lot of people have gone virtual, which they either had never thought about doing, or it was on their radar, but it was like months or even years out before they were going to do that. And so the beautiful thing is that people can now do your classes, the London Method, or become a teacher in training all over the world. So not only that, but you're a great conversationalist. So I'd love for them to know how to find you and how to reach out to you.
Well, I definitely love talking, so you know that about me. But it's so easy to find us because we're the London Method everything. So we're the London Method on Facebook. We're the London Method on Instagram. We're our website is thelondonmethod.net. It is .net, so remember it's .net, not .com, a school of acting school or something. So .net, and then you can email. Like, I love to hear from people about, just if this reaches them in some way, it's just kelly@thelondonmethod.net. Or if you want to sign up even on our mailing list at the London Method, there's our website, there's a mailing list there. There's so many ways to stay connected. And we really are, one of the things when I found the technique, as I said, it's not just a workout. It's a work of art. It's not just a workout. It's a work of art. It was one of the things that I said the first few weeks that when I had found this technique, and it really has turned into not just a true work of art, but also a true like lifestyle. So we have so many other areas of life. We're always supporting other businesses that we believe in and doing all sorts of things to help other people, or, you know, just promoting things that we really believe in. So there's so many reasons to get on our mailing list, because it's just a beautiful community to be involved in. And in fact, one of the things people always say to us is, you should email us more. Like, you know, I never want to email people too much, because I always feel like everyone gets so many emails. So I always thought, I guess that's a good sign. Or people are like, you should email more. I'm like, really? You want more emails? Like, who wants more emails? You know? So yeah, we just like email once a month. And it just is a really, really beautiful community that we love. And we've partnered up with you on the Bloom. Like, we've done so many fun things that people can access to that are outside of the workout realm if they want to. But yeah, awesome.
Mm. Kelly, it's so good. And I told you we were going to need like 90 minutes. Actually, we could do like a whole weekend on this, but I literally have 2 minutes and I've been really torn. Like, gosh, what should I, like, what's the last question I have for her? But I really would love for you to address, Kelly, in literally 2 minutes. I want you to talk about what the London Method does for women's abs. And not that, like, I love curvy, like, doughy, like, it doesn't matter. But there's something about this work that is unlike anything you'd ever experienced. So if you could do that in, like, a minute and a half, I would love it.
Yeah, I can. So basically, I was a mom of twins when I went to England. I had been teaching Pilates, pre and postnatal certified. And when I started doing this work specifically, the work that was taught to me, it literally, basically what it does, we do these waist whittlers, they're called. That's what we named them because that's what they do. They're very tiny controlled movements where you just literally whittle your waist back and forth. And that's one of the things where it takes your middle, and if you can imagine like wringing out a towel or tightening in, it does that. It actually just makes the circumference of your waist more pulled in, which takes inches off your waist. That's what happens. And what's happening really is your core is getting stronger. So you'll notice you'll get the strongest core. There's also exercises that hit the backside of the waist. We call them Hello Sailor, and it's called Tarts Position. So there's so many fun names that are actually back from when Lottie Burke started it and her daughter continued on. So we have a lot of the original names in there, but there's muscles in the backside of the waist that wrap around the spine that actually get really, she found a way to get our bodies in a position where you pull in and tighten those, you know? So if you imagine if you're tightening a sheet and you want to get it flat and pulled it around on top, you have to make the bottoms around the backside tight, right? So that's literally what this technique does in exercise form. So that's one of the things. And you will get like this felt looking very feminine, pulled in at your waist look, that who doesn't want that? You know, no matter what size you are, like, you have that waist that's pulled in and your core is strong and your back pain goes away. Like, you just feel like you can do anything. And that's what we've watched women do from this. So it's a beautiful thing on many levels.
It is, Kelly, and I know that the London Method is really about helping women and men, anyone that does the London Method, really be more present, connect more fully and lovingly and compassionately to their bodies. And I think you're doing amazing work, Kelly, and I adore you, and I'm so grateful that you are my guest today, Annie. So thank you so, so much for being here.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. And, again, always with you, goes by so fast, everything.
I know. We always need more time, but we're gonna figure out a way to make time expand or something. I don't know. But we'll we'll get there, Kelly. But thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here. I really hope so genuinely that you will check out Kelly at thelondonmethod.net, take a look at their Instagram and their website, and you can take their classes online, and I hope that you'll take a minute to learn more about the magic that they're bringing to the world. So love being here with you, Kelly. Thank you to all of our listeners. And we will be back for another edition of Women Lead Radio at 9 a.m. on Mondays and 2 p.m. on Fridays. And I do so sincerely hope that you'll come back and listen to the other great hosts that we have and all the goodness that we're bringing to the world. And I would love to leave you with one of my favorite quotes by Rick Lent, and he is absolutely one of my favorites, and this is what he has to say about business and it being personal. Those who say it's not personal, it's just business, are lying. All business is personal, and the best business is very personal. So, my love, if you want a great business, make it personal. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again soon.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.